Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie. Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
Some news reaching us from the RTE newsroom. Protesters held a demonstration outside the Taoiseach's home in Greystones in County Wicklow yesterday evening. There were 16 protesters at the house. The Taoiseach wasn't present at the time. He was attending a funeral. The protesters who were there held signs which said, South Dublin says no, close the borders. Now, the demonstrators were told were on the pavement outside the Taoiseach's home, and his family were at home at the time of the incident. It doesn't say which family members were in the house, but we know his wife may have been there and his two young children. So that's news just coming in. There may be more on that later, and if there is, we'll bring it to you. In the United States, President Joe Biden has denounced the violent campus protests that have broken out at universities across the country. In his first public comments since police stormed a number of encampments, he had this to say.
We've all seen the images, and they put to the test two fundamental American principles. Excuse me. The first is the right to free speech and for people to peacefully assemble and make their voices heard. The second is the rule of law. Both must be upheld. We are not an authoritarian nation where we silence people or squash dissent. The American people are heard. In fact, peaceful protest is in the best tradition of how Americans respond to consequential issues. But, neither are we a lawless country. We are a civil society, and order must prevail. Throughout our history, we've often faced moments like this because we are a big, diverse, free-thinking, and freedom-loving nation. In moments like this, there are always those who rush in to score political points. But this isn't a moment for politics. It's a moment for clarity. So let me be clear. Peaceful protest in America. Violent protest is not protected.
Well, the president's comments come after the arrest of 200 students at UCLA following violent clashes there earlier this week. Hundreds more have also been arrested at other universities across the US since those protests first erupted in mid-April. For the latest, I'm joined on the line by Marion McKeown, US correspondent with the Business Post. And Marion, those heated encounters we saw unfolding at UCLA, they've come to an end, but you were on campus earlier this week.
I've been to the UCLA campus several times, and you know, I was there Sunday, Monday, and earlier on Tuesday, and it was really obvious to me on Tuesday that trouble was imminent. You could sense the tension, the rhetoric was getting more and more angry, the exchanges between the pro-Israeli protesters and the pro-Palestinian protesters were just becoming so fierce, and there was almost no security on campus. And this was one of the curious things to me. There were about three or four that I saw UCLA police around, and then there were private security guards who were sort of manning a very narrow barrier that separated the two different groups. So when it all erupted in the early hours of Wednesday morning, it was really, I think it would have come as no surprise to anyone. The surprise was that the police were not ready for it, that they were nowhere to be found, that it wasn't until the mayor of Los Angeles, Karen Bass, told the LAPD to go in and the California Highway Patrol subsequently that anything was done. And even after the California Highway Patrol arrived, they stood by while these attacks continued. And you know, you did have these, it was said that they were pro-Israel protesters. They were counter-protesters. To me, a lot of these people who arrived on campus looked a lot older. They looked like that they did not belong on campus. And they arrived with sticks, with metal bats, with cans containing chemical irritants and all that kind of thing. And as I say, it was evident that things were going to head south pretty quickly. So the The police, as you say, it had been requested earlier that there be more of a police presence. It's still, to me, not entirely clear what happened and why that wasn't responded to, and why, indeed, when the police did arrive on campus, why they were so reluctant to take any action until about 3 o'clock in the morning, notwithstanding that they were standing around watching these really vicious attacks. And I think one of the things that seems to be happening in the States, Claire, is that there's a reluctance to recognize that American politicians and Joe Biden and Americans in general are very, very sensitive, as they should be, to concerns about anti-Semitism, to concerns that Jewish students who are on college campuses are being made to feel unwelcome, they're being intimidated, they're being harassed, and that there are a number of anti-Semitic slogans being shouted across barriers. And, you know, this is happening. I saw it at UCLA, but the opposite is also happening. There's a huge amount of Islamophobia. I heard appalling things being yelled across also at the pro-Palestinian protesters, and a number of these were also Jewish. There were a number of organizations of Jewish groups who were supportive of the protests and who really wanted to draw attention to what's happening in Gaza, and who also were really concerned about this issue of divesting from companies that do business in Israel. But as I say, it's seen here through the prism of anti-Semitism only. And even Joe Biden, when he condemned the protests after the UCLA campus had been cleared, as you said, with a huge police presence, he never referenced the attacks on the pro-Palestinian protesters that took place the previous evening, when he was talking about how law and order had to prevail and peaceful protests were fine, etc. So the whole thing is very chaotic. It's very confusing. It defies any one single narrative, because there are different types of protests. The responses have been different depending on whether the protests took place on private or public university grounds, on whether they were taking place in red states or blue states. We saw really ferocious responses in Texas. And I think the whole thing, you know, there are comparisons to 1968 as well. And, you know, but it defies sort of glib, easy sort of comparisons or sort of pigeonholing. As I say, in my experience on being on three or four of the different college campuses, there are very different groups joining, there are very different feelings, and there have been very different responses.
And Marion, that response, we heard a clip of Joe Biden just a moment ago saying that America is not an authoritarian nation where we silence people or squash dissent. But his response in those comments, did that signal him getting tougher? Because you've mentioned that he has to tread this very fine line here, but he is very clearly saying peaceful protest is protected, violent protest is not.
Yeah, and you know, I don't think anybody has a problem with that. He's in a really difficult position, because this is an election year. We saw during 2020 the George Floyd protests, which roiled the entire country. They had a huge impact. Swing state voters do not like chaos on the streets. They don't like chaos on college campuses, and they just don't like disorder and civil disobedience generally. And they tend to punish the incumbent when that happens and hold them responsible. So even though on the one hand you have, you know, the First Amendment, which enshrines the right of peaceful assembly and the right of Americans to protest and free speech, Americans get a little scratchy when it actually happens, by and large. You know, they don't really love protests, and they don't love protesters all that much. And I think, you know, Biden, there are real concerns that this will follow him to Chicago, where the Democratic Convention is taking place in August. And, you know, of course, people are talking about a rerun of 1968, when there were really brutally violent protests and a brutal suppression by the Chicago police of the anti-Vietnam War protesters at the DNC convention. I don't think that it will be anything like that. But there, you know, the pro-Palestinian protesters have already said they're going to arrive en masse in Chicago for the DNC, and that they are going to draw attention to it. And I think there is concern that even if there isn't violence, that this is going to take away from what's happening inside the hall, that this is just going to be another distraction that Joe Biden doesn't need.
Yeah, and it's so widespread. I mean, you just have to look at a map that pinpoints the protests across the United States, and you get a sense of how widespread they are. 300 demonstrators arrested on Wednesday night into Thursday, the total then 2,000 arrested. And What is the outlook for that? I mean, are the protests still spreading or are they abating somewhat?
Right. Well, just to put it in perspective, Claire, it does seem like a lot. And there are protests, as you said, taking place on several dozen college campuses right across the United States. But it's only, there are more than 4,000 college campuses in America. And I think at the peak, the protests have only taken place in around 100, 120. And there have been tented encampments, which have been the cause of these police arrests and the cause of police coming onto campus, only in about three or four dozen college campuses. So it's a teeny, teeny fraction. But because the colleges where it's happening are these hugely prestigious Ivy League colleges like Harvard, like Stanford, like UCLA, like USC, Yale, you know, Columbia, etc. That's why it's getting so much attention, because these are colleges that charge $60,000 to $90,000 a year for tuition fees. And they're the colleges that donors are giving billions of dollars to, and they're the prestige colleges that everyone wants to go to. You know, if these were happening on the campuses of community colleges, I don't think anybody would be paying attention, quite frankly. So I think that it does give, again, an illusion that this is happening everywhere on every college campus, when, as I say, it's happening only on a tiny fraction, but they are getting a lot of media coverage, partly because of the heavy-handed tactics by police in a number of cases, partly because of the violence on campus, and partly just because they spread so quickly. This only started on April 17th, when the president, following an appearance before Congress, a very criticized appearance before Congress by the president of Columbia University, where she seemed to agree with suggestions that these protests were inherently anti-Semitic, and she seemed to sort of throw some faculty members under the bus. And it was then the police were sent in the next day by her. They arrested 93 students, and it was at that point, it was like whack-a-mole. If you suppress a student protest, another dozen will pop up somewhere else. So that was what really started it. So this really only kicked off in the last couple of weeks. And I suspect very strongly that now that, you know, the college terms are ending, this was an optimal moment for leverage for the protesters, because you have all these commencement ceremonies, you have these huge graduation parties, and all these, as I said, magnificent Ivy League campuses. And even UCLA is a public university, but it's like a country club. You'd want to see the place. Honestly, it's so pristine and it's so beautiful. And it's 400 acres in the middle of Bel Air, you know, in the middle of Beverly Hills, of just the most magnificent grounds. And when parents come to see their children graduate, they don't want to be stepping over tents. They don't want to be facing protesters. And I think that this was the optimal time for these protesters to try and get what they wanted. And they did in a couple of colleges. Not all colleges responded the same way. And the president of Brown University, for example, agreed to meet with students. They had a number of discussions. And she said, OK, you know what? If you pack up your tents and agree not to have any more disruptive protests before the end of term, we will take your proposals for divestment to the board and we'll vote on them. Now, there's no chance they're going to vote yes. But, you know, I think the students felt sufficiently seen and listened to that they felt that they could save face and pack up their tents and go home. Okay. So I think a lot of it has been how it has been badly handled by and large by college presidents, who are spooked. They're afraid of donors. They're afraid of safety issues. They're afraid of irate parents who are saying, we're not paying 90 grand a year for our kids not to be able to go to classes.
All right. Well, let's see where it goes from here, Marion. Thank you very much.
Okay.
US correspondent with the Business Post.
Thank you, Claire.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.